once again as we look at the book of Revelation in chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. We're going to look at this morning. The title of this sermon is, Who Are These 144,000 That Are Recorded in These 9 Verses? Last Sunday morning, we looked at a great earthquake that is going to come according to the book of Revelation during the days of the tribulation. The Bible says that earthquake is going to move mountains and every island out of its place. It says the stars will fall from their places in the sky, and the sun will turn to darkness, and the moon will look like blood, and men will begin to cry out to God for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lamb, as Barb sang about a few moments ago. This scene will be upon this earth. But now we switch back to something now back in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 7, I want to go ahead and read verses 1 through 9 for this morning. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, and of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. When you come to this passage for this morning, chapter 7 in the book of Revelation is a parenthesis, and in fact, it's in the chronological order of the book of Revelation. For we've looked at, you have the opening of the six seals. And then when you come to this chapter in the book of Revelation, you would expect to read, and the seventh seal is opened. But that's not what happens in Revelation chapter 7. Instead of that, you have a scene here in this parenthesis. It's the angels of God that are holding back the winds that blow from the four corners of the earth. Now, what you have in this chapter is a suspension of judgment. If you will remember, this entire material is describing the time and the things that will happen upon this earth once the church is raptured out of here to heaven when Jesus comes in the air. Now, left behind are going to be all those who did not trust in Christ, and those that had not heard the gospel, and those that had not responded to the gospel. So chapter 7, with this interlude where judgment is suspended for just a little time before we open that seventh seal. Now, numbers are important when you study the Bible. In biblical numerology, numbers stand for certain things. And certainly in the book of Revelation, we see the symbolism of the number four. John mentions in this chapter, there are four angels, there are four corners, and there are four winds. Now, you see in that triune of fours there, we know that these four angels represent because God uses them. God uses angels. They are messengers. And when we did our study on angels, we learned that these are created beings God uses to minister to those who will inherit salvation, but they are angels that God also uses in his administration of judgment one of these days upon the earth. We learned that there were angels that fought in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel. There were angels that were used for various reasons. And we see Gabriel was the announcing angel in the New Testament. Michael, the archangel, is the protecting angel over the nation of Israel there in the Old Testament. And so as we've looked at angels before, we realize that they are agents of God's judgment. And when Jesus describes these days of the judgment and the tribulation upon the earth, and he speaks about the angels of God, and they go out and they separate the wheat from the tares at the end of the age, at the end of the tribulation. And we learn that what will happen to the tares, how that they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, angels, they're mighty. They're mighty, they're powerful. These spiritual beings that God has used throughout biblical times for God's own elective purposes. And so when the angels came announcing the birth of Jesus, they came announcing salvation because Jesus came to save his people from their sin. Now the angels of God in the book of Revelation here, they come back to the earth, but this time they're going to come for the purpose of judgment. But before judgment can take place, God gives an act of mercy that he wants the earth to understand. These angels are standing on the four corners of the earth. It's not a scientific statement that we're given here, because whether the earth is round or flat, and of course we know that the earth is round. In fact, the Old Testament speaks about that God sits on the circle of the earth. It would have been well if Columbus would have read that many years ago. He would have realized that it was circular. But the four corners, what do they symbolize? What do they represent? They represent the north, the south, the east, and the west. The four directions from which the wind blows. And these four winds are the winds of judgment. They're the winds of a storm that's going to come one of these days and pound the earth during the days of the tribulation. Now, the number four in biblical numerology stands for the earth or the world, the number four. And so these angels in this particular passage in chapter 7, they're holding back judgment here for just a little while. And this judgment is being suspended, and the winds of judgment are not going to begin to blow until the angels are given the instruction to release their restraint. Now, this is the power that God has granted to these angels, and it's for a special purpose. And so, the number four, the number of the earth, or the number of the world, we have the four seasons of the year. We have the four directions, north, east, south, and west. We have these points, four points on the compass. And there is a worldwide judgment that will take place. And that's the significance of the number four as we study the book of Revelation chapter 7. Judgment is suspended until the seal of the living God can be placed upon God's servants that he's going to use in his judgment upon this earth, as these servants will go out and they will witness and they will testify of Jesus Christ, and many people will be saved. Now, what all of this means is that before this judgment begins to fall, when this judgment is released upon the earth, it has to do with a fourth of the life of the marine life in the seas will be killed. It speaks about a third of vegetation on the earth is going to be burned up. And it speaks about the waters of the sea, the fresh waters, and the waters of the sea and how they are going to become polluted. And that's a part of God's judgment that will rain down upon the earth during the tribulation. Now, God is going to carry out this judgment. And what man has sown, ecologically speaking, in the creation and with the weapons of destruction, man is going to reap what he's sown. And then we see in this chapter 7, there is the sealing that God has. Now, God has a seal. A seal in Bible times had different uses. For example, a seal was an insignia that represented ownership. If you're a rancher out there, you brand your cattle. You have a seal that you know which ones belong to you. Well, there were also families that would have a crest or a seal of their ancestry. And then here in the book of Revelation, there is a seal that God has that marks the family of God. You see, this seal means possession. So it's important that you and I understand here in the book of Revelation chapter 7, the significance of this seal that is fixing to be placed upon this 144,000 that we have just read about. And the Apostle Paul spoke about those that are true believers and false believers in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Paul said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." You see, the idea of this seal is all the way through Jesus' ministry. When you come to John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That's the seal. So that Satan knows who belongs to the Lord. Now, you and I, if we have trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. In fact, the book of Ephesians that we're studying on Sunday night and Wednesday night, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, to those Christians, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, the moment you get saved, God places a seal of protection upon you. This mark is to say to the devil, "This is the property of God. And if you fool with God's property, then you're going to have to answer to God, Satan, because this person belongs to God." And so that's how the seal is used here in our text this morning. It's used as a seal of protection upon this 144,000 during the days of the tribulation. The seal was not only used for protection, but it will be used for preservation as well. The example of that, do you remember during the days when God's people wanted to leave the land of Egypt? And Pharaoh kept on hardening his heart. And so God sent 10 plagues. It would take 10 of them before Pharaoh's heart became unhardened where the people could leave. And so God said to Moses for him to tell his people to take the blood of an animal, and they would paint it on the sides of the door and over the top of the door, the lintel. And when God sent the death angel down as one of the last plagues, God said to Moses that when the death angel comes over, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so that's where Passover became important to the Hebrew people. But it was it's a seal here. It was a sign of preservation. A seal in the Bible also means protection. And that's why we see this in Revelation chapter 7. Hurt not the earth or the sea until the seal of our God has been placed upon these servants. Now, what he's saying is here, don't hurt the trees, don't hurt the seas, don't hurt this sea life. I want to protect them for right now, preserve them. You see, these people that God is going to put a seal upon during the tribulation, before he rains judgment upon the earth, upon the seas, upon the waters, upon the marine life, he's going to seal these 144,000 as God's possession. Now, you may turn loose of God, but God will never turn loose of you. If you belong to God, you belong to God forever. And the devil cannot break that. The devil cannot change that seal. And when you're behind the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been delivered. You've been delivered from the power of death. Now, you may die, but you're physically, as we understand it in this life, but no longer than you close your eyes, you're immediately alive in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing that Satan can do to ever change that fact. And there's absolutely no failure in your life or my life that can change that, because we are protected, we are preserved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so whenever God sees you and me, God realizes that he looks through the blood of Jesus and realizes our sins are as far as the east is from the west. So in this text for this morning, the symbolism is a seal here. It's very important. Another illustration of that, as you well remember, was back during the days of the Old Testament. God was going to make of Abraham a great nation. His descendants would be as innumerable as the sand of the sea is. And what was the seal that God gave to the Jewish people to remember they were his covenant people? It was the rite of circumcision. And so that was a tangible, visible sign that they were the people of God, and that Abraham and God had entered into that covenant. And that's why the tribulation and here in Revelation, it's so important that you and I understand this morning of what's going on here before that all takes place. This judgment falls. God is going to seal these 144,000 people. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart this morning, then you've been sealed by God. God's Spirit bears witness in your spirit and in my spirit that you are a child of God. I'm grateful for that this morning, aren't you? Aren't you grateful for the peace that passes all human understanding? And in our text, these sealed people are going to be a selected people. Who are these that John is talking about? Well, they're not the church. We already know from Revelation chapter 4, the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, that the church gets taken up to heaven. Who's the church? The church is anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior since the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. We are living in the church age. And according to Revelation here in chapter 7, these people that are going to be sealed, protected, and preserved during the tribulation period, these are 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes, and 12 times 12 is 144,000. So 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. God is going to select these, pick these people. They are going to be sealed. Notice in verse 9 of Revelation 7. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Well, we know this is not the church, because the church was already clothed in white robes, but crowned in white robes in heaven. And so these ones in verse 9 will be all of the multitudes that will be saved during this time of tribulation. And the result of sealing these people is that there's going to be a great revival. Now, I hear a lot of people say that, oh, I think there's going to be a great revival in the land. Well, I know this. There's going to be a great revival during the days of the tribulation, but I haven't seen anything that's leading to a great revival that I've seen in America. Have you? I'll tell you, I believe that, you know, after we saw what happened at 9/11, haven't seen a great revival. Have you? During this pandemic time, I haven't seen a great revival. But I want you to know, during the days of the tribulation, there's going to be a revival like there's never been. So these 144,000 sealed people are going to be God's Jewish evangelists. Jews that God seals that will know Him as their Messiah. And God is going to use them to spread the message during these days of tribulation. You might have asked the question, how will people be saved? Well, there are going to be two witnesses during the days of the tribulation. There's going to be these 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will go proclaiming the message of salvation. When you go back to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel tells us that God decreed upon the nation of Israel, the Israelite, the Hebrew people, God decreed some 490 years or 70 weeks. Each of those 70 weeks represents 7 years each. So if you take 70 weeks that was decreed upon those people, God's people, and it was 7 years, a week represented 7 years, 7 times 70 gives you that 490 years. Now, we know that 483 of those years have already passed from the time that the order went out when the children of Israel were released from Babylonian captivity by King Cyrus to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. 483 years have already passed from the time they went back to restore Jerusalem until Christ came and rode into the city of Jerusalem on Passover Sunday and was crucified. And so there's 1 week of 7 years left for the nation of Israel. Now, for the past 2,000 years, God has put a parenthesis out there. God is not willing that any should perish. And so for the past 2,000 years, you and I have been living in what is called the age of grace, or the church age. The church age. Back in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, Paul was writing to the Roman church. When you get to chapters 9, 10, and 11, it's a parenthesis that is meant for the nation of Israel, when God will once again turn to the nation of Israel. When will that time be? It will be during the days of the tribulation, when the times of the Gentiles are over. What is the times of the Gentiles? That is now. That is for all of these many, many years we're living in that time. And so one of these days when the church is raptured to heaven, then this tribulation period will start. It will start Daniel's 70th week, this last week. It will be for 7 years. The first 3.5 years is when the world leader, the Antichrist, that comes riding in, as that we saw the white horse rider riding in across the world stage. This one world dictator will make a peace treaty with the nation of Israel so that they can rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and begin to once again have their Old Testament rituals of sacrificial rituals of the animal and the blood sacrifices to absolve for their sins. And so during the tribulation, God has a program for the nation of Israel. He's not finished with them. He's giving them an opportunity during the days of the tribulation to receive the Messiah that they rejected some 2,000 years ago. And two reasons for the tribulation is, number one, so that all Israel will be saved. That does not mean that every Jew is going to be saved. But all of those that will be saved during that time that are Jewish, that's what Scripture means when it says, and all Israel will be saved. A second reason that the tribulation is coming is because man has messed up the world. It's a sin-filled-infested world, and God will not let sin go unpunished. And God is going to bring judgment upon this earth. So when you come to chapter 7, rather than opening the seventh seal, which we will do in another Sunday, what happens is there's this parenthesis, and these four angels, which are about to release all of this judgment that's going to come, and there's another angel that ascends out of the east, this says, that tells them to hold back their restraints until God seals these 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be evangelizing during the days of this time upon the earth, one of these days. Let me tell you, as I look at the world around me, I am certainly keeping my eyes upon the eastern sky. I don't know when Jesus is coming again. You don't know when Jesus is coming again. Jesus doesn't know when Jesus is coming again, according to the Scripture. The angels don't know when Jesus is coming again. The Bible says only the Father knows. One of these days, God will tell Jesus to step out into the clouds and call his children home. Let me tell you, when that happens, the world that is lost will not see that take place. Jesus will step into the air. And the Bible says that those that have died in Christ, those graves will be burst open. And those bodies will come forth, and they will be a spiritual resurrected body like unto Jesus had after the resurrection. The Bible says those that are alive in Christ, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We've got to be changed because we cannot go to heaven in this body. And so this mortal must put on immortality. And so we will be changed. And we will be changed in a glorious spiritual body like unto Jesus had after the resurrection. And let me tell you, when Westinghouse did the research study to see how long a twinkling of an eye is, and I've repeated this before, but it bears to repeat again, they came up with 11 one-hundredths of a second. That's how quick you will be changed in the presence of Jesus, all the way through the first heaven and the second heaven and somewhere beyond 186 trillion billion miles will be where the New Jerusalem is. The world will not see that happen. They will be oblivious to it. But immediately they will realize the chaos in the world. Can you only imagine? For those that will be flying in the air and the pilots are taken, and where people will be that are lost. Can you only imagine as cars are driving down the freeways and the highways and people are taking? Can you only imagine as little children suddenly are gone out of this world? You think the world will not be in a panic? You think the world will not be in a chaotic state? I can only imagine. If there's any one thing that these days have taught me in the past 3 months, it's this. I don't know when Jesus will come. It may be 50 years. It may be 100 years. It could be today. I don't know when he's coming, but I know that he's coming. I know when Noah built that ark and it never rained, but God told him to do it. And by obedience, he followed God's orders. For 120 years, he worked on that ark. People thought he was crazy. They thought he was nuts. They thought he was a bigot. They thought all kinds of things about him, laughed at him, scoffed at him. But I want you to know, on the day that God said, "No, I want you and your family to enter into the ark," only eight people went into the ark. What was the ark a picture of? It's an Old Testament type of salvation, their preservation. They were saved. The door was closed. The waters began to descend. And people began to scream. People began to pound. Let me tell you, they realized that poor old Noah preached for 120 years with no converts whatsoever but his family members. Can you only imagine what this world, one of these days, with all of the chaos, is going to happen? Suddenly on the scene comes this one world dictator. This one world leader, he's got all the answers to life's questions. And he will begin his reign upon the earth. And in the middle of the 3.5 years, he'll break his peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period of time is called the Great Tribulation. His reign of terror, when he will set his image up in the temple to be worshiped as God himself. If you can only imagine the days that are in store for the tribulation. There's one thing that I've learned these past 3 months. God's word is going to happen just as he said. And when the world suddenly changed 3 months ago, I don't know that it will ever be the same again, but I do know this. As I've listened to many preachers preaching and Bible preachers and prophecy preachers and things I've read myself, I do know this. I certainly believe that what we are seeing are precursors of things to come. I read an article this week that said things are getting darker and darker and darker. And I believe with all of my heart, Jesus has extended mercy for 2,000 years, giving people an opportunity to receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. But as we saw last week, even when they could have turned to him, they blasphemed him and cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers were too late. If you're listening today and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you, it's the most urgent of decisions, I believe. If you've never trusted Jesus, reach out by faith and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to come once again to unite our hearts in corporate worship. And God, I pray today, if there's someone that is listening to this broadcast or will tune into it at a later time, or someone here in the sanctuary, or someone driving up and down the road listening to the radio, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move within hearts that need to turn to you. And God, I pray today somewhere, Father, that souls would be saved as the Holy Spirit of the living God is moving throughout the earth, seeking and searching for that heart that will turn in faith and trust you. Father, forgive us as Christians where we fall so short. God, when we read in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where you're speaking about your own people, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin and heal your land. Oh God, I pray for Christians all over this world that they would be more interceding than ever before in all of human history, to realize, oh God, that time is far later than any of us can even begin to imagine. And I pray, oh God, for the lost, that you would save them. Oh God, I pray that you would impassion our hearts. God, that we would tell more people about Jesus. Our friends, our loved ones, people that we meet wherever we are. Oh God, you didn't say that we had to save them. You said, go tell them. So God, we're doing our best to try to tell the message. God, many people are driving up and down the roads, going to and fro throughout the earth, totally oblivious to what your word has to say. The time that we are living when history is being rewritten and the Bible is being reinterpreted so liberally. Oh God, we're reminded that you warned that these times would come. So God, attune our hearts. Affix our eyes upon the most important things in all of life, is to do what you ask us to do when you left 2,000 years ago. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, speak to some soul somewhere today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.